In my lifetime, when you get to my age, you have many titles. And I've had many titles. I've been a father, I've been a son, I've been a husband. Here I'm an elder, I'm an attorney, I have a wide variety of names. But I'm also a preacher. And that was probably my first title, at least the title that everybody at church gave me. And so every week growing up, somebody would come up to me and say, "Hey, are you going to be a minister just like your dad?" And I kept saying no. 56 years later, here I am. So this can go either one of two ways, because my dad was a really good minister. He had a way of condensing what he wanted to say into a really succinct sermon. And we moved out here from the little town I grew up in Illinois when I was in high school. And about 10 or 12 years later, I went back. And these two sweet little old ladies took me to the country club, and we had lunch. And they kept saying, "Oh, we sure miss your dad." I said, "Well, that's really sweet." And blushing, "We miss your dad, we miss your dad." I said, "I'll make sure and tell him." And they said, "Yeah, we haven't had a good seat at the country club since he left." Now, I also have a minister farther back in my past who started a religion in 1832 with Barton W. Stone. When you went to one of his services, you took a picnic basket because he preached for about 4.5 hours. So today, we will see who I fall towards, my dad or Alexander. So you'll either get a really good table today or you're going to be really hungry. And we'll see what happens. Will you pray with me? Father, we are so blessed to be here today, and we would ask that your Spirit work within us so that we might go magnify to the world in so in need of your message and your love, not our love, but your love grown through us. And it's in his Son's name that we pray. Amen. So I saw this cartoon, and it says, if you can't read it, just thinking, if a blind person hears me, could they tell I was a Christian? If a deaf person sees me, could they see Christ living through me? And I often worry about that with myself. Am I light enough? Am I salty? When 1 John, we get a little bit of a clue as to how we should be. 1 John 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Today I'd like to go through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and so if you want to follow along, you can. Although Jimmy went through it last week, there are a couple other things I want to touch on. He was so effective in discussing worship and that we are worship. But let's go back and reread Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and all of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is in the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up into love." Today I'd like to talk about three things: body, maturity, and love. You know, our bodies, our earthly bodies that God designed for us, are incredible things. Neurons keep firing in my brain to allow me to walk and do stuff like this all at the same time. They allow me to multitask. They allow me to sometimes do great physical feats. They allow me to survive, and they allow me to walk and spread his word. We have this miraculous engine that keeps us moving, keeps us alive. And God has given us these vessels. So, what do we do with these earthly bodies if we want to be healthier? Anybody? What do we do? If I want to be healthier, exercise. What else? Eat better. So exercise, eat better. And if I want to train this body to do something specific, what do? Get a coach. What else might I do? I probably would practice. Rereading Ephesians 13 and 14, it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Sometimes I have to confess, I still am immature in a bunch of different ways. But one of the ways I'm immature in my body is I say, I'd really like to be in the shape I was in when I was in my 20s. But I really don't want to put in the effort to get anywhere close to that. In the body of the church, my immaturity tends to show itself this way. As I said earlier, I'm a preacher's kid, so I've been in the church all my life. And I've done just about everything. I've taught Sunday school. I've been in every different level of Sunday school. I've been a youth sponsor. I've been an adult Sunday school teacher. I've gone to camp. I've been to camp. So there's a temptation sometimes for me to say, I'm 56. I'm going to step back and let some of the younger folk take care of things. And here's the thing. I can't have a healthy body if I don't exercise and eat well, and train each part of it. And we can't have a healthy church if any of us back away from our commitment to First Christian Church in any way. And it has to be an active commitment. I have another confession to make. There are times when Tim will send out emails to a group, and it's usually about moving somebody or doing something at the church. And I try to get to places. But there have been times when I typed back, I can't. But what I was really thinking is, I won't. Or I'm being selfish with my time. And I don't know, there may be a story in Matthew talking about how we're supposed to serve our Lord. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you and welcome you, or naked and clothe you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you? And when were you sick or in prison and we came to visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of my brethren, you did not do it to me." There's nothing that I see in there that says, well, do it sometimes, God will understand. That's okay if you take a day off. Now, I get that there are some times when we may truly be hurt or sick and we can't do something. But there are plenty of times in my life, at least, where I don't have that as an excuse, and yet I make that my excuse to not be able to serve a son or daughter of God. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. You see, if I stop exercising, my body will atrophy. I will pull back. I won't be healthy. And if one of us stops exercising or actively engaging in the church, we hobble this church. It atrophies. And it can't function as the strong, unified body that we're meant to be. Each part of our church relies on the other, staying engaged, training, if you will, to keep the whole body healthy. There's no retiring. I mean, my role may change, but I can never actively step away from the church. Maybe I'll lead a small group, find someone to mentor or teach. Maybe I'll be uncomfortable and sit in a different place in church. Can you imagine? I saw these folks move from over there to over here, and they didn't spontaneously combust. Nothing bad happened to them. What they did was they moved to be with the youth of the church. When we don't have Nick, when he's gone and we're looking for somebody, we have people who stood up. They said, "I will train these people. I will make this part of our church strong." And God blessed them, and nothing bad happened. Can you imagine if you saw somebody you didn't know in church and you decided, "Today I'm going to go sit by them"? Wouldn't it be funny if one day there was a stranger and like 200 people just sitting right around because you wanted to make sure and say hello to that person? It'd be a wonderful problem to have. Tom would wonder what he missed when he came back and saw 200 people sitting by one person he didn't know. Maybe we'll even, and I know this is hard, we'll go to the first service. We'll hear traditional hymns. We'll hear stuff a little softer. But we'll also be with the other part of our body. Be with those people who are maybe looking for a mentor, maybe looking to train up somebody. Maybe we'll go there. Maybe you'll go to childcare, small groups again. Maybe you'll pray for somebody. Maybe you'll be on the prayer team. Folks, when I gave my life to Christ, I made a commitment to the Lord to speak the truth in love and grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. You know, it's strange. Tom's talked about this, and I certainly have too. I married up. And there's no doubt about that. But when you marry up and you marry somebody who's smarter, you have to be careful what kind of questions you ask. And earlier this year, Stacy and I were talking about our walk in Christ. And I thought, man, I'm going to lob her a softball. This is going to make me feel so good. I said, "How do you think I'm doing?" Thinking, "Wow, you're an elder. You're great." She said, "You're trying." And so it wasn't what I was expecting. But it was what I needed to hear, and it was true. I'm trying, and I won't ever get there, but that's okay as long as I am trying. You know, when we were fortunate enough to find First Christian and make that our home, I made a commitment to you, and you in turn made that commitment to me to be part of this body, to attain doctrinal unity, to help mature each of us in the unity of faith, regardless of where we are now. Is today your first day in church? That's fine. Is today a day that you've been here for 40 years and you study every day? That's fine too. And we speak the truth in love. And this, the Bible's the truth. And we speak it in love. We all have gifts that when used and matured will make this body, First Christian Church, with Christ as the head, a whole body growing up in love. And it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, what if we don't know our gifts? What if we're one of those Christians that just, we haven't found that gift. We don't know what we're doing. Or maybe this is the first time I've been here. Well, stunningly enough, this book of truth talks about that. The very beginning of Psalms, the psalmist says in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Delight. We delight in this. Joy can be found in here. Everything you need to live your life is in here. You know, I looked up meditates, and it talked about an active pondering. Not some incense, you know, induced om kind of thing. It's an active pondering. It's talking to God. So when we meditate, we talk. We communicate with God. When we delight and meditate on his word, we develop a closer relationship with our Lord. So tell me, what goes into a relationship? If you're married or you're in a relationship, what goes into that? I'm sorry? Honesty. I'm sorry? Appropriate thoughts about the other person. Communication. Time and energy. Patience. You know, just as any relationship, we have to make an active commitment to spend quality time with the Lord. And I have to say, sometimes I try and pretend my quality time is quality time when I know it's not. I'm on my way to work, it's been a busy, I'm trying to get to work quick, and then I'll talk to God real fast, like, can we take care of this on my way to work? And I pretend that that's quality time. But it's not, and the only person it's hurting is me. And sadly, because it hurts me, it hobbles the church a little bit. But when we do spend quality time with God, it can be solitary Bible reading, praying with your spouse, praying in a small group, volunteering your time in service, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and will move within us and within our hearts to gifts that the Lord has given us to make his body, this body, strong and unified. You know, I mentioned small groups. Stacy and I are doing one on blended families this fall. There are going to be others, but they all concentrate on something from the Bible. Maybe you're more into neighborhood connections. You want to get out. You want to be on the prayer team. You want to work in the community garden, keeping the grounds clean. Maybe send somebody a note or make a call. Maybe you're too nervous or you just don't feel comfortable doing any of that. Would you be comfortable if I gave you a card with three names to pray for on it in your home with God? Maybe give somebody a ride to church. So we need to, each of us, commit to each other and to the Lord to make our joints, our bones, our ligaments grow stronger through training in Christ. Now, this is not a trick question. What is this? God's Word. It's the Bible. Okay, hold on. It is a Bible, and it's a study Bible, and everybody should have one. But let me talk to you real quickly about what's on the screen. I mentioned one of my titles earlier, and it's Elder Here. And sometimes I feel like I'm disconnected. And it's not your fault, but I need to know what this church needs as an elder. So there's my phone number, and there's my email. And if any of you need to be in contact with me for your to discuss issues you think you have at the church, anything, get in touch with me. And I promise I'll talk to you. I may not have an answer, but we will walk through it together. Now, back to the Bible. We all need a study Bible. Because reading through the Word requires people who have studied it to help us uncover things, peel the onion, if you will. If you read the Bible 20 times, each time you read through, you're going to discover different things. We could read the book of Ephesians for the rest of our lives and never run out of things to talk about. So we need a study Bible. And this is going to shock you, we need to use it. I mean, it's not a gym membership. So you need to use this. So if you have one, use it. If you don't have one, get one. And if you want one and you would use it, but money is really an issue, talk to me, and I will make sure you get one. We will do that so that you can study, and I mean study, the Word of God. You know, at this point, I'd like to take a break and talk to you, because as a guest, not in the church, but a guest up on this stage, I've got a little treat for all of you. You all are going to get a free trip anywhere you want to go on a private plane. And it's going to be your plane, so you can decide what it looks like. And you're going to leave here, you're going to get in a limousine, you're going to go to the airport. And man, you're going to get on that tarmac. Plane's as big as you want, inside looks however you'd like it. Smells like a new car, there's leather. Somebody is waiting to take you wherever you want to go. Who's ready to go? Me? I'm ready to go. The only catch is, the pilot who comes down, and it can be a man or a woman, doesn't really matter. It's your trip, so you get to pick the pilot. The pilot has had as much experience and study on that plane as you have had with the Bible. Are you going to get on the plane? Some of us would. Some of us are like, I'm ready, let's go. That guy's already knows everything about that. Others of us are going to be like, I think maybe I should go back to church and get in the car and go home. We have to study, and there's really no excuse not to. In 1 John, we're taught about love. 1 John 4, 8 and 16 through 18. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son in the world so that we might live through him. So that we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. What's the one thing sometimes that keeps us, and for a better word, evangelizing to people outside the door? I think it's fear. But if we develop a perfect love, we have no need to fear anyone or anything that we'll come across. When we practice godly love in our lives and in our church and on our community, we need not fear and we should not fear. We can and should boldly spread God's gracious love. In Deuteronomy, as Moses brought Joshua up to be his successor, he said, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And then in Isaiah, we hear, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." There is no need to be afraid when we love with God's love. You know, there's a passage that we hear about love, and the Apostle Paul tells us this, and normally we only hear it at weddings, but I'd like to read it now. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. With this, the truth, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. I should have that on my mirror every morning to remind myself how I'm to behave when I leave for work. As I was looking at this, I found out that the word patient has an origin that's different than I anticipated. I think of patience with, you know, when your kids are young, you have to be patient. Or in my case, when I'm 56, you still have to be patient with me. But the root word for that is in Latin and then in Greek. And it says, one who suffers, or I am suffering, or to suffer. So if we read that first part, love is one who suffers and kind. I wonder if we have any examples of that in this book of truth. Arrogant means to claim for oneself. When I'm arrogant, I don't just tell you to boost myself up, but I claim something from you. I claim for myself. And that's not love. We need to practice this type of love together with each other in the safety. Lost you? Nope, there we go. I must treat people this way everywhere I go, and not just on good days. I can't just show love when I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great, so I'm going to let you go ahead of me in the grocery store line. You only have two things. Aren't I a good guy? We have to show this Christ-like love on bad days, because every day God will put people and situations in front of us that he wants us to love. And in the way Christ loves us, not halfway, not some days. And aren't we glad? Because our lives would be so different if Jesus had loved us halfway. If Jesus had done his ministry, getting ready to go into Jerusalem and said, you know, this is good. I'll just stop here. How our lives would be different. But Jesus loved all the way. And he gave his all for me and for you. Before 2,000 years before I was born, Jesus said, I love you this much. And he gave that gift to everyone who will accept it. So what will happen when we train each other, we train each other up and we develop an intimate relationship with Jesus? And use the whole Holy Spirit as God intends us to. Our body, this body at FCC, will become stronger and it will radiate God's love. And soon, in unity of body, we will all be trained up by the Spirit, continuing to train new people who come in and new people in the faith. And we will know our gifts and we will use them and delight in watching each other grow, becoming one cohesive body for Christ, knowing that God delights in our unity. He will cry tears of joy over our helping each other to get in shape, to become one, in maturity and love. And then we'll be able to say, as the psalmist says in Psalm 73, perhaps, But for me it is good to be near the Lord. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. And it's not our works, it will be his working through us. Church, you will use your gifts. Being a light so bright that people will take notice, and you will use your gifts, and you, and you, and you. And you will radiate those gifts. And people will notice, and they will say, hey, what is going on at First Christian? They always have something going on. They're energetic over there. They love each other. They love their Lord. Heck, they love everybody. So, I'm in if you're in. Let's train together. Let's love each other. Let's run this race and win this prize. And never let go of our fellow runners along the way, because our commitment to each other says, we are in this race together. So when our time comes, we can meet our Lord and hear those words that all of us want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. If this is new to you, this talk of Jesus, this talk of unity, this talk of love, and you'd like to learn more about it, you can find me after church. There are a couple other elders here. Jimmy's a minister at the church, the one who was singing. Talk to him. If you have those questions and you'd like to know more, there's a lifetime of learning ahead. If you've been thinking about giving your life to Christ, I checked. The baptistry has water in it. I think we'd be happy to stay and welcome you to the body. And if you're wondering, am I ready to give my life to Christ? I can already tell you, you don't have to worry about being reciprocal, because he already gave his to you. Father, we are so joyous to be able to come today and be here with you, talk with you. We thank you for your word, for giving it to us that we might study, that we might pour through it, that we might then find out all the. We ask that you would be with us as we leave this place, that we might radiate your love to the world around us because of your Son's love for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.